It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Delighted to say that we're joined in studio this morning by Clodagh Kennedy of Fianna Fáil, who has been added to the ticket for the forthcoming general election. And Clodagh will be on the ballot paper for the Fianna Fáil party. Clodagh, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
It's our pleasure. Clodagh, you didn't contest the initial selection convention which took place in September. What was the process that brought you being added to the ticket last week?
So the process really was where the NCC and HQ approached me in terms of going forward for the ticket, and that was due to my work on the ground. I'm a teacher in Finn Valley. I deal a lot with families who are dealing with the cost of living crisis. As an officer of the CDC of Fianna Fáil, I'm meeting ministers consistently, and I will be bringing queries to them. For example, when we had Jack Chambers in the constituency last May, I was taking up issues like the A5 around the Twin Towns bypass. When it was Stephen Donnelly, who was in Donegal Town, opening the community health centre there, I was looking at GPs, upskilling GPs, increasing GPs, and the waiting time, particularly for elderly residents in Donegal. So the party was very aware of my work on the ground, delivery, working through our ministerial and government base and trying to deliver for people on the ground. And I think that's hugely significant.
You didn't choose to contest the selection convention yourself. I mean, had that been on your mind leading up to the selection convention?
My whole thought process is about supporting the party. It still is. It's about working together as a team. It's about putting out different candidates who will meet different needs for the electorate. For me, I'm a young woman. I'm going to be speaking on female issues around childcare, around women's health, particularly around housing. So for me, as a member of the party, it's about putting forward a dynamic, different team, different candidates with different strengths.
But does the fact that you didn't contest that initial selection convention in September, does that suggest you didn't believe you'd be elected? I mean, or why hadn't you put yourself forward at that point?
At that point, it was more important for me to support the two candidates, particularly our Minister, Charlie McConnell.
No, but I mean before the two candidates were chosen, as in the process, we initially had five people went forward for the selection convention. Two, Donal Mandy Kelly and Niall Blaney, withdrew. And we had Minister McConnell, we had Pat the Cope Gallagher, and we had Micheál Nochtain, Councillor Nochtain, contest the selection convention. Should Clodagh Kennedy's name have been on that before the party at that point put forward, nominated in August or early September, so that Clodagh Kennedy could have been considered by the party members at that vote?
Perhaps, Donal, absolutely. I contested in 2016. I went forward for that general election convention. I had just come through a local election of 2024 and contested in 2014. So perhaps there is that train of thought. But for me, at that time and moment, it was supporting the party, as it still is.
The comment made on Friday last by Councillor Liam Blaney on this programme, he said, if there were to be a third candidate added to the ticket by HQ, he was questioning why wasn't it Micheál Nochtain, who topped the poll in the Donegal electoral area, was elected on the first count, and was ran Pat the Cope Gallagher quite close at that selection convention, which I'm sure you attended. From that point of view, the big difference, of course, between yourself and Micheál Nochtain is you are a woman, that there is an obligation on the party to put a certain proportion of female candidates before the electorate. And the perception is going to be, rightly or wrongly, that you're here as a nominated candidate, not because of your track record, but because you're a woman.
Well, let me say, I was a member of the National Executive of Fianna Fáil. I contributed to the Mark of Each report of 2015. I am in favour of gender quotas. I think it is very difficult for women to have a chance and to get their voice out there and to be heard. And our party leadership is 100% behind women, women's voices, and also women's health, women's issues. And I think I represent that.
Are you facing a challenge in terms of the campaign from where you're launching yourself now, that you haven't had the time before convention? I mean, I'm sure from the point of view of Pat the Cope Gallagher, the point of view of Minister Charlie McConnell, look, they've been gearing themselves up for this campaign for quite some time. You are potentially facing 4.5 to 5 weeks of, and I mean, the election could be a month today. The election could be November 29th. That seems to be the hot favourite in terms of the date. We could be seeing the Dáil dissolved by November 5th and the election then called. So from that point of view, are you on the back foot in terms of preparing and running a campaign?
Well, firstly, I'm in a very unique position. I ran in the local elections for the Donegal electoral area. I'm very familiar with the issues. For example, last week I was in Donegal Town at a public meeting around parking and congestion around the Diamond. That's the first issue. Second issue, I live, I work and I teach in Stranraer. That is my base. That is where I come from. Therefore, there's two electoral areas that I'm going to be very strong in. I have been on the ground. I have been working. I have been delivering on issues. And in our party, it has to be said, it is more about delivery. It's not about a 5-minute soundbite on Highland Radio. It's not about how many likes you're going to get in social media. It's not about how many public meetings you've done. It's about delivery. Has Claudia Kennedy taken that issue? Has she brought it to the right minister? Has she delivered? And people on the ground will know that, Donal. That's hugely important and significant. And for me, my priorities going forward are very different to the other candidates. For me, as a young teacher and meeting families, it's about provision of autistic children and their needs. It's about early intervention in autism. It's around increasing speech and language therapy, physiotherapy. It's about supporting families at a very difficult time with the cost of living crisis. It's about helping renters. It's about helping those who are struggling with housing. I'm in a very different situation and I'm putting forward a very different view to the other two candidates.
Do the public know that? Because bottom line, when it comes to, we'll say November 29th, because it's the top favourite in terms of the date. The challenge is, I mean, and members of the party know Claudia Kennedy well. Members of the, I'm sure, ministers know Claudia Kennedy well. The internal party structure, you're on the CDC, as they say, you've been on the national executive. Everyone within Fianna Fáil knows Claudia Kennedy very well. That's undeniable. The biggest potential problem you face is our Johnny and Mary, when they go to the polling booth anywhere in Donegal from Mizzen down to Dencolum Kill, are they going to know Claudia Kennedy and what she stands for and what she's done?
And that's the challenge. And that's why I'm here today, Donal. And that's why I will be on every door that I can possibly and humanly cover over the next couple of weeks. That's why I will be doing media, meeting people out and about. Absolutely. It will be a challenge, but that is my challenge to meet. I have a great team. I've had huge support within the party. That will be my challenge, and it's something I'm going to do to the best of my ability.
From the point of view of the party, will the constituency be divided? Will we see Patrick Hope-Gallagher concentrate on the west, Charlie McConnell concentrate in the Shone in the north, you concentrate on the Finn Valley and south of that? Will there be a strict delineation? Will there be, in this area, vote Claudia 1, Cope 2, Charlie 3, in this area vote Charlie 1, Claudia 2, Cope 3, in this area vote Cope 1, Charlie 1, Claudia 3, whatever. Has that been discussed? Are your people, Patrick Hope-Gallagher's people and Charlie McConnell's people, in discussion with senior party officials to try and get as efficient a machine going as possible? Because if Fianna Fáil is going to get 2 or 3 elected, they're going to need one hell of a campaign for the next month.
Absolutely. And those discussions have yet to take place. But what I want to focus is on Fianna Fáil delivery, regardless of where you're living, Stranraer or Inishowen or in Donegal Town. You know, we've seen 115 million invested from government into school buildings. We've seen 614 applications for the vacant home refurbishment grant. 60 of those have been paid out. We've had huge investment in the recent budget 2025. We've just had 600 million approved from government for the upgrading of the A5. Alongside the 10T Donegal project here, vitally important. Huge amounts of money are coming into this constituency, and it's going to be my place and my role to advocate for more funding, better funding. And I think it's really important to say as well, it's been very topical this morning and I want to come on it as well. I want to stand with defective block homeowners in putting through that legislation for social housing. Obviously, I'm not in government and not elected, but I want to work and advocate for them at every single level possible. That is my role, to hear the issues, to advocate for the people of Donegal, to deliver for the people of Donegal to the best of my ability with my team.
One of your challenges is that the minister that they believe is hampering what they seek is from your party.
What we need to do, for me, I have personal friends, I have colleagues who are in defective home blocks. I see the anxiety, the stress and the pain. I've been in here many, many times with Greg Hughes, advocating and fighting for defective block homeowners, and I will continue to do so. And I will say, within our party, we welcome where people will get in there, they'll fight the corner, we have dissent, we have discussions, we have arguments, and I will continue to do that for the people of Donegal.
Would you like to see transfer arrangements with Nicky Bradley and John McNulty in terms of the two parties getting back into government together again, because based on polls and figures, it seems highly unlikely that either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil on their own would be in a position to form and lead a government. It seems almost inevitable that the incoming government, if it's not to be a Sinn Féin-led left-leaning government, the incoming government is going to once again have to be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael working together. With that in mind, do you believe there should be some form of transfer pact locally?
No, I believe the electorate will make up their mind. It is not my role to direct the electorate. I want the electorate to judge Fianna Fáil on our capacity and our history and what we've delivered here to the constituency. For example, we've just had a new veterinary college and scheme opening up in Letterkenny ATU to the value of 25 million. Third type of things I want people to judge our party on. Nationally, Norma Foley has just introduced 1,600 new SNAs nationally across the board. Again, that's what I want Fianna Fáil to be judged on. Nothing to do with Fine Gael or any other candidates. In terms of women's health, we now have free IVF treatment for women from the ages of 46 to 64 under Stephen Donnelly. We have now specialised menopause clinics for women. We have specialist endometriosis clinics. They're the type of issues I want Fianna Fáil to be judged on, not on who we have a pact on. The electorate will make up their own mind. That is not my role or anybody's role to do so.
And are you confident that when they are making up their minds, they will look confidently and they will look at Claudia Kennedy and say, yes, this is someone we want in Dáil Éireann, and that they'll mark their papers accordingly?
Absolutely, I hope so. And it's very important to say that as a public servant, as a teacher, I believe in hard work and diligence and about delivery. And so I may not in the past have been on social media and saying I delivered this and I did the other. It's about hard work, delivery on the ground, making differences in people's lives, not doing the drama and hysterics and opposition to everything. It's about delivery. It's about being practical. It's about meeting people where they're at. It's about working and delivering on the ground. Hugely significant.
Claudia Kennedy, you have a hell of a busy couple of weeks ahead of you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donal. Thank you.
I've just got something in. My blood is absolutely boiling. I've just got a comment in. So sorry to see the wee free library at Pollen has been destroyed. That gets... Oh, sorry, I'm really ticked off at this. I mean, the idea of free libraries is such a lovely idea. You finish a book that you've enjoyed, you bring that book, you put it into this little free library, and then you take a book and you read that book, then you bring that back and you take another book, and people come, and it's a way of sharing books and sharing literature and sharing a love of reading. And anything that shares a love of reading and promotes reading is absolutely vital in my book, and anything that stops that from happening is just odious. That really gets my goat, that someone would actually destroy such an important resource. I mean, oh, sorry, it really gets me. We spoke earlier about someone being asked for their PPS number as they were signing on for dance class. Caller says, I certainly wouldn't have given my PPS number. I would have asked why it was needed. That's just my view. I think I would be in the same boat. I mean, my PPS number is something I would not be throwing around willy-nilly at all. We spoke earlier about this major energy conference coming up in Derry, of which Highland Radio is the media partner. Caller was asking, what's your opinion on wood pellets as a renewable source, and why has the price more than doubled in the last number of years? Another caller is asking, how much is the Irish government paying to the wind farm operators? Sometimes up to three times the wholesale rate, which they're obliged to pay for whether there is demand or not. Are we paying for it, whether we use it or not? And then they have the gall to give us credits of our own taxes to pay over to energy providers. Another caller says, I get annoyed when I hear people talking about electric cars, heating systems, windmills, etc., good for the environment, etc. If we all know that if we truly want to be good for the environment, we'd need to stop mining for all minerals, never mind the oil and gas. We know the damage it does, not only to the land, but to the poor miner working in dreadful conditions. Are people prepared to give up their phones, computers and luxury items? An interesting question and a valid one. Now, I want to go to line one because I'm joined on line one by Barry. And Barry, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal. How are you keeping?
I'm very well indeed. And Barry, sorry to hear that you're originally from Donegal and you had come back to Donegal to attend a funeral. But you developed a problem and you just want to highlight the help you got.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I know Donegal people are probably the friendliest and people in the world, like, you know what I mean? But the car broke down in Ballyshannon. And there was a tow truck sent out from Seamus's Gallagher Garage in Balbuffet, which were amazing. Seamus rang me about two times before the tow truck even arrived to me, just to see if it was okay, if there was anything I needed and stuff like that. But eventually, the tow truck arrived. The mechanic done a few bits and he got me back on the road. He said, "No, the problem could happen again." But I got on the road and eventually, and the problem did happen again. So we ended up going back to Letterkenny to get the Enterprise to get a hire car. Now, these people are off all weekend for a long weekend, as you know. And these people were amazing in Enterprise. But it ended up that I couldn't get the car in Enterprise that night. So I had to book into a hotel in Letterkenny, which was a Silver Tassie. And a big thanks there to Orla and the staff in the Silver Tassie. They were amazing. We were arrived late at night. The restroom was closed, I would say, but we still got a meal and stuff like that. And the way they looked after us in the Tassie was amazing as well. But 11 o'clock at night, I got a phone call from the Enterprise. They say the car will be available the next morning. Like, that's over the boat board, like, if you know what I mean, 11 o'clock at night for somebody from Enterprise to ring. And they also rang the next morning to see we were okay for a lift back into Enterprise to collect the car. But in the meantime, Seamus Gallagher in Balbuffet, a man I never met before in my life, he rang me about 11:30 to see how we were and stuff like that. And he couldn't be more helpful. He couldn't have done any more for me, Seamus Gallagher, and actually rang me on Sunday morning as well to see we'd be okay and stuff like that. Just amazing, the people in Donegal.
Yeah, well, look, it's wonderful to hear this because, I mean, we know that these acts of care and kindness take place on a regular basis, and sometimes a program like this, there's a risk you get very cynical. There's a risk that we just highlight what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong all the time. And it's really important sometimes to just take a step back and say, look, there's an awful lot of good out there. There's an awful lot of great things happening. And it's wonderful to hear from you, Barry, that this is very much alive and well, and that spirit of friendship and support and community in Donegal is very much alive and well.
Oh, yeah, there's enough negativity going around the place now at the minute, to be one thing and another, and people should be thanked for their gratitude and stuff that they do. Out of hours on the bank holiday weekend, it was amazing, like. So I'd just like to say thanks to the Orla and the Silver Tassie, Seamus and Gallagher's car sales there in Balbuffet, and of course Enterprise, for what the work they've done to get me back on the road and get me home safe.
Yeah. And again, sympathies to you and to the bereaved. I know you're up for a funeral, which obviously, you know, no one wishes to be traveling home for a funeral. But it's great that, you know, what was a problem and potentially could have been a really serious problem was eased by the support you got from the people around you. And it's great to hear that.
Amazing. Yeah, it gets good stories out there instead of negative stories. The whole thing.
And Barry, listen, thanks very much indeed for contacting us. And it's great to hear. Thank you.
No bother. Thanks very much.
You take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, a couple of your comments. A caller is asking, funny, this is a question I was actually researching myself at home this morning before coming to work. Good morning. Where in Derry can you park to see the fireworks? I happen to be going into Derry on Thursday night. Now, I'm actually going because I'm going to a gig in the Guildhall. The Crash Test Dummies are playing in the Guildhall at 9 on Thursday night. And I'm having all the nights to put a gig on in the middle of the city. You put it on the night of the fireworks. So I was looking it up. Probably the best place to park is over just at Fort George. If you come into Derry via Springtown and Pennyburn, and you come to the roundabout there at Fort George, is it Catalyst is the big building in front of you, and then you turn right heading towards Sainsbury's. There's a huge patch of waste ground there at Fort George, and I know they're running a car park there. You will literally fit thousands of cars in that car park. That's at Fort George. As I say, just to the right of that Catalyst building. If you were heading in towards Sainsbury's, it's between Catalyst and Sainsbury's there at Fort George in Derry. I know the Foyle Street car park under Craigavon Bridge, that is closed, because that's usually my car park of choice. Now, I do know that the Foyle side, at least one of the two Foyle side car parks, now open 24 hours, and that is an option that's there as well. I'm presuming they'll be open, and they're paid car parks, of course. I can't remember. I was in for the Marine Festival, and I used the Fort George car park, and it's I can't recall if there was a charge. I don't think there was, actually. I think it was free, but I don't recall there being a charge on it in the past. That doesn't mean there won't be a charge on it on Thursday night. But I would say your best bet, probably, particularly if you're coming in from the Inishowen direction, your best bet probably is that large car park at Fort George. I know the Foyle Street car park under Craigavon Bridge, as I say, is closed. Foyle side might be an option. Must look into that one as well. But wherever you're going, it's going to be difficult getting into and parking in Derry on Thursday night. Of that, we can be quite sure. Now, we are going to change tack slightly because the Oireachtas essay competition is back. The theme of this year's competition is Parliamentary Politics Liberates. And we're joined on line three by Senator Ronan Mullen, who is one of those organising this competition. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for bringing me on the show.
It's our pleasure. The Oireachtas essay competition, it's an important one, Senator Mullen, and has been. It's to pay tribute to the forthcoming 250th anniversary of the birth of the Liberator, Daniel O'Connell. And he was such a parliamentarian and an advocate of the importance of parliamentary politics and democracy that this theme that ties in his nickname as the Liberator as well, of course, is a very fitting one for this year.
That's right. This is the third year of the competition, and it is all about encouraging young people, our future leaders, to take an interest in our democracy and to figure out where is their place in the political system. Obviously, some people would like to run for office. Some people would be terrified at the prospect. But politics is about everybody's participation, whether you're canvassing for somebody or a party whose ideas you like or support. Or it's politics is the business of making decisions at whatever level, in your residence association, trade union or whatever. But as the Count Corley is fond of saying, you know, we need more people interested in politics, and we need people more interested in politics if we're going to get good decision making. And, you know, you look around you in the world today, there's lots of challenges. Sometimes people lose faith in politicians and politics, but at least in our country, and it's not everywhere in the world, tragically, we get to decide who governs our society and for how long, and to change our government if we don't like what they're doing. So that was the idea when we came up with the Oireachtas essay competition 3 years ago, to stimulate that interest in the democratic process. It's aimed, we started with 5th years and 6th years, but this year, for the first time, we're reaching out to TY and 5th and 6th year at senior cycle, or indeed A or AS level for those doing A levels. This is a 32-county competition, and it's bilingual as well. And as you rightly say, this year we chose our team from the inspiration of Daniel O'Connell, who is, whose example of non-violent agitation for human dignity through his struggle for Catholic emancipation, but of course later in the repeal movement. And of course, he was an internationally recognized and honored figure for his outright opposition to slavery at a time when other people accepted slavery, you know. So O'Connell was really a brilliant, internationally admired statesman who worked really to lift an oppressed people up from their knees.
And as the Count Corley pointed out at the launch of the event, Daniel O'Connell wasn't perfect. He didn't succeed in everything he went out to achieve. He had his issues, he had his problems, but he lit a flame, the Count Corley says, that has never gone out. And maybe that's the most important thing, that flame of parliamentary democracy and commitment to it. You don't get everything you want, you're not going to succeed at getting everything you want, but you can make a huge difference.
You can, exactly, because you just believe in the dignity of people. And of course, O'Connell is an interesting figure because he himself, you know, he was the top lawyer in the country at the time, but he wasn't allowed to become a senior counsel or a king's counsel because he was Catholic at that time. So he himself, I suppose, rankled at the lack of civil rights for what were the great majority of the Irish population. So it hit him personally, although he was a relatively privileged member of society and that they were, I suppose, minor aristocracy. But he really devoted his whole life, and he turned down offers, you know, that the British government would have made to give him, to make him the equivalent of a minister today, or to give him some kind of senior appointment in the apparatus of state. But he just, he knew that would compromise him. So he stayed true to his agitation for people and really, you know, gave his whole life to it. So, like, not everybody is called to be a Daniel O'Connell, of course, and we all God's creatures have a place in the choir, as the Count Corley said. But what is important is that everybody thinks about why democracy matters. And I would be very grateful if there are senior cycle students listening to you, or indeed their parents or their teachers, to spread the word to those students and encourage them to register for this competition. There are 6,000 euro in prize money. PTSB have come along as the main sponsor for the next 3 years, and CJ Fallon are also sponsors, and we're very grateful to them. But the important thing is that students before the 8th of November would go on to the Oireachtas SA website, and that's oireachtassa.ie, or if they're entering off Gaelge, Ashta on Oireachtas.ie. So that website, www.oireachtassa.ie, gives all the information. The important thing is people register by the 8th of November. We then email them a code number once they register, and that code number then allows them to upload their essay by the deadline of the 22nd of November. So we're able to assess the essays anonymously, so to speak, so it's scrupulously fair. And of course, the essay doesn't have to be about Daniel O'Connell. That's a jump-off point. But, you know, somebody might want to write a short story inspired by the essay title, Parliamentary Politics Liberates, or in Irish, An Saoirse agus an Pholaitíoch Parlamentarach. Whatever people do, we will assess the essay on its merits. It's a kind of a Leaving Cert English style essay for those who are writing in English. And as I said, there's prize money to be won as well. So we'd be really grateful. And we've been delighted to have winners from Donegal in Milford most recently in the competition. We had a highly commended there that came to Leinster House this year. I've also presented prizes in the competition in Derry. So we're delighted at the 32-county nature of the competition as well.
It'll be interesting, because if the timing that everyone assumes is going to be with regards to the election, if that comes to pass, the closing date will be a few days after the Dáil dissolves, and the closing date for submission of essays will be a few days before a general election. So this whole process will be taking place during a general election campaign, and it'll be very interesting to see if that actually seeps into the writing and if that seeps into the submissions that you receive.
Absolutely, and but whether there's an election or not, the competition will continue, and the essays will be scrutinised, and there will be an awards ceremony. Generally, it's the first week in March when the Cathain Comhairle presents the award. So whether it's our current Cathain Comhairle, Sean O'Farrell, who has been a fantastic support of the competition, or a successor of his who will be presenting the national and regional awards in the spring, time will tell. But just to encourage people it's fun to enter these competitions. Even by entering it and registering, there's a lot of information on the website that's actually very useful about our democracy and the value of it. So we're grateful to all of those teachers and school principals and deputies who've taken an interest in the competition, and parents as well, and the students themselves, and spreading the word to each other about it. We had an increased number of entries last year. We were very pleased with that, and hopefully it will grow even more this year.
And of course, it doesn't need to be repeated that the participants in this competition are the voters and potentially the parliamentarians of tomorrow.
That's correct. And you know, you see that maturity in the essays that you get too. And in fact, one of the quite a diverse range of experiences feed into the essays. For example, some students who have entered the competition, whose maybe parents were new to the country, you know, they wrote about their experience of, you know, of their family's experience of living in countries maybe where democracy wasn't strong or not there at all. Or they reflected on the contribution of people like Nelson Mandela, or last year, because it was the 25th anniversary of the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement, you know, there was a great emphasis, of course, on the amazing political contribution of people like John Hume and David Trimble as well, who through the political process, contributed to peacemaking in our country. And that's what's at the core of this. It's Parliament and the work of, if you're in the South, in the Oireachtas, or if you're in the North, the Northern Assembly, or indeed the British Parliament, or any parliament worldwide. But that business of elected representatives working, when they do it well, it leads to good decisions for the common good, the solving of problems. And sadly, when they do it badly, it contributes to the world's problems. So it is about trying to raise people's awareness of how politics, when done right and used for the good, is really one of the highest forms of service to humanity.
And as you said, when the panel of experts is judging the various essays, they will be judging a code number. They won't know where the author is from. They won't know the ethnicity or the location or the geographical home of the author. All they will know is that the author is A7476350 or whatever the code happens to
That's
be.
Right.
So it's going to be very scrupulous in terms of the judging.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time and effort and resources making sure we had a good system for running this when we started, and it's a very good website, and we have various other checks as well, just to make sure. And I'm delighted that we've had a great spread of schools and geography actually in our winners over the last couple of years. You know, different types of schools, mixed schools, single sex schools. There's a great mixture, and that's a good sign that lots of different types of schools and different backgrounds are taking an interest in the competition. We bring the national and regional winners to Leinster House for the prize giving, the award ceremony, with their parents and teachers, and that's always a very special occasion. But actually, we also give cash prizes and visit and present awards to those students whose essays are highly commended, and we go to their schools. And that's actually a very special occasion as well, because the students are honoured by their peers, and in the presence of their class, we generally give a presentation on why the competition is there and how our democracy works, and where the Dáil, in my case, since it's myself that would be visiting, in a lot of cases it would be the Shannon, and where it fits into the system. And that leads to some great conversations as well. And invariably you meet students who are starting to take an interest in politics. And as you say, particularly at this time now, with an election in the air, there'll be the possibility of a great focus for classroom discussions as well.
Senator Ronan Mullen, the convener of the Oireachtas Essay Competition, thank you very much indeed. So just remind us, Parliamentary Politics Liberates is the theme. It ties in with the 250th anniversary of Daniel O'Connell's birth. Just remind us finally of the website and the registration deadlines.
Thank you. Website www.oireachtasessay.ie, all one word, or in Irish, Aista an Oireachtas Punk IE. And you register by the 8th of November. You put your details up on that website where it says to register. You nominate your teacher point of contact. That's the teacher in your school who we contact if it looks like you're a winner. And once you register by the 8th of November, we'll email you a code number, and that's what you use then to upload your essay by the 22nd of November. And hopefully we'll have more winners from the Northwest this year, I've no doubt of it.
Senator Ronan Mullen, thank you very much indeed. Just a few comments before we go for a break. Earlier we spoke to Minister Alan Dillon. A caller asks, do illness benefit recipients receive the double payment? Yes, those on the benefit for more than 12 months will receive it. Earlier in the programme, we spoke to Councillor Michael McClaverty with regards to Japanese knotweed. Caller says, I just listened to the councillor stating the councillor sprays knotweed along roadsides and wants access to private lands to treat the invasive weed. The only spray that kills Japanese knotweed is a chemical known as glyphosate. This chemical is highly carcinogenic, as proven in the major legal action a few years ago in the US against the Roundup brand. I was responsible for providing Councillor Albert Doherty with a motion to adopt the pollinator plan across all public lands in Donegal, which bans the spraying of glyphosate in public lands. It was unanimously accepted, yet this councillor has stated that this highly dangerous... Now, Councillor McClaverty didn't say that any particular chemical was being sprayed anywhere. He did not name any chemical, and I cannot say whether or not this is what's been used by the council in terms of its treatment. Caller says the... I'm sorry, but I think there's perhaps presumptions being made here that I certainly cannot stand over. I'm not aware of what chemicals are being used by the council, and certainly, to my memory, Councillor McClaverty didn't name any chemicals there. But Councillor, just a caller there concerned. With regards to Claudia Kennedy running for Fianna Fáil, caller says that lady may be lovely, however, as far as I know, she received around the 300 mark in the local election. We all know it's based on having a woman on the ticket. As someone who previously supported Fianna Fáil, I say that sadly the party has lost its way. We're still trying to give away our neutrality and joining an EU army independent that people agree with is the only way from now on. As a woman who is perimenopausal, where are the specialist menopause clinics in Donegal? I'd like to avail of this service, please. Another caller says, you should be picked because you're the best person for the job, not because you're a woman. Well, Claudia Kennedy will argue that she potentially is the best person for the job. We're joined on the line by David Martin, who's communications officer with the Road Safety Authority. And David has some important and... disturbing news. If you're scheduled to have a driver test in Letterkenny this week, David, serious problems on the ground at the moment.
Well, yeah, first of all, I'd like to apologise. We've had to make cancellations today. We've had an illness. Our driver tester is is off sick today, so we've had to cancel today's tests. We did have, there are two people or two other testers who are scheduled to be off today. So it really is just one person. So it's a small number of people directly affected today. I'm not sure whether they will take place tomorrow. What I would say is that people who've had to, who've had their tests cancelled, they will be put on the priority list and they should receive a fresh invitation this week for a new test. But it is a most important thing for me to say, really, is I'd like to apologise to those directly affected by this.
So at the moment, if someone has a test booked for Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, at this point in time, we don't know how they stand.
We don't
have the test?
No. I just can't answer that. I just checked with the Letterkenny office there and, look, we can keep our fingers crossed, but it's, at this stage, it's impossible for me to say.
David, obviously, the issue of driver tester numbers in Donegal in particular and Letterkenny specifically has been a topic of debate and discussion up here for a while. Joined on the line by Councillor Jerry McMonagall, he's Mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District and a member of Donegal County Council. Jerry, you've been discussing this issue over the past while. This isn't what you want to hear.
You know, understand that people can be sick, of course, but it's not the fact that one person's sick. It's the small number of testers we have in Donegal. And, you know, that currently we have over 9,500 people who are driving on a learner permit, and there's 1,600 of those waiting for a driving test. And, you know, they've been waiting for anything from 18 to 36 weeks, depending on where you live. The fact that in a zone, which is the size of Louth, doesn't have a driving tester, you know, says a lot. We have four testers for the whole of Donegal, and we know they can't be working every single day, that they have to have time off. And then, like today, there's a tester has went down sick. But here we are again. It's going to extend the waiting times, and it's going to cost those who are waiting for their driving tests a lot more money. And this just isn't good enough. We're living in a very rural county, as you know. A lot of people are dependent on their cars, and while our public bus service is improving, it still needs to go a long way before it can meet all the demands for people in the county. So the car, unfortunately, is the only way we can get about. And to be honest, well, I understand someone can be sick, but it's a fact that we have only got four testers for the whole of Donegal. And this is just, you know, it's not good enough. I understand the RSA are in the process of recruiting further testers. But for us in Donegal, we'd like to know how many we will get, and will it improve the service, and will it get people who are currently on driver permits for the length of time that they are, will it get more competent and accomplished drivers on the road? And that's our concern. We kind of keep waiting the length of time we're waiting, don't know.
Okay, well, stay with us, Councillor McMonagall. I'm going to go back to David. David, you've heard what Councillor McMonagall has articulated there. Number one, I mean, just to tease through some of the issues he's asked. I mean, we know that there aren't enough testers in Donegal at present. What is the situation with regards to recruitment and potential deployment?
Well, there's not enough testers per se across the country. So we were really relieved. We've been lobbying to increase the number of permanent testers for the last year or so, and the government agreed. We got this. We got the sign off on that probably about 6 to 8 weeks ago now. So the number of testers will increase by 50%. We're going to recruit at least 70 over the coming months. That's increasing the number of overall testers by 50%, which is going to make a huge difference. Obviously, it takes some time to get these people recruited and get them trained up, and it's done on a schedule, on a phased way, because otherwise it'd be very disruptive to those tests already scheduled. So just bear with it; it'll take a little time, but there will, in the medium to long term, it'll have a very significant impact. The other thing I would say, just in terms of today, that there are eight candidates who are directly affected today, and they have been informed, and they will be rescheduled up very soon over the coming days.
Yeah. In terms of that process to bring in more testers, I mean, from what we understand, from what Councillor McMonagall and others have been saying, we would require more than, I mean, if you say that there's been a 50% increase, if there are four testers covering Donegal at present, as we understand it. That would suggest maybe six may come to Donegal, but I mean, two new ones with six in total. The argument's going to be it needs even more. Is this the start of a process where we'll see even more recruited in the coming months and into next year, or is this just going to be where we stand from now on, if that makes sense?
No, it's like we're at the start of this process. We've had a number of open days, and we've been really encouraged. There's a huge amount of interest amongst candidates wanting to become testers. So we didn't quite know what the response would be, but it's very, very strong. So we're confident that we'd be able to fill those posts. Where they'll be allocated hasn't yet been fully determined. So we'll see how that plays out over the coming weeks and months as we get more and more testers on board.
Obviously, from the point of view of a county like Donegal, I don't need to tell you, you've heard this argument for several times, I'm sure, from people lobbying from the county. There is no rail network. Public transport is sporadic at best. And in most cases, if people are on schedules to try and get to work or to try and get to college, the optimal and in so many cases only way to get to work or college is to drive. There are young people awaiting tests who are on provisional licences. At present, they can't drive on those provisional licences. Most people obviously want to work within the law, and they're being hampered in terms of getting to work, hampered in terms of getting to college. So passing the test and having a tester to actually facilitate that and allow that to happen is absolutely crucial. Is that going to be taken into account when these decisions are being made?
Well, it's, you know, absolutely, we'd acknowledge that, you know, that people like need cars, you know, it particularly in the rural parts of the country, and particularly up in Donegal as well, more so than in big urban centres. I'm based in Cork City here, so not the same requirement, and it would be the same in Dublin and Limerick. How the new testers will be allocated, look, it's just, I can't say that at this stage. You know, we have to go through the whole recruitment process. We have to see where the people are coming from. So it will be made clear. And just bear with us, it will be happening over the coming weeks and months, and we'll keep in touch with you and let you know how things are developing.
David Martin, Communications Officer with the Road Safety Authority, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
David, thank you. Okay, Councillor Jeremy, I'm going to go back to you. In terms of what David's just said there, have you taken any solace from what he said, or is this more of the same?
I think it's more of the same. I would like to have heard from David that yes, they're going to concentrate and give us for once a bit of favouritism, clearly for the reasons outlined and indeed yourself. But look, there's 1,650 people who are, you know, waiting for a driving test. There's 580 of them were scheduled to sit a driving test, and that figures last month. And the fact that, you know, David was sort of making it, you know, a little less than what it really, the effect it really is, that only 8 are affected today. But that's 8 out of 581 people who are scheduled to take a test. I mean, even if we get 2 extra testers, as you were calculating, it would take an awful long time to get through all of those. And then we never seem to take into account that the pass rate is somewhere between 60 and 65%. Here in the county. So that means, like, you know, at least 40% of those taking their test will have to resit it. And all of that's added expense, is added anxiety, and then the waiting list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what we need, and more so in this county probably than anywhere else, is for people to be able to drive competent drivers on our roads. They make them safer. And that's what the driving test is all about, is to ensure that anybody who gets on the road in a car knows how to handle that car, can drive by the rules of the road. And unfortunately, we have 9,500 people who are still on learner permits who haven't got that competency test yet. And that's worrying, to say the least. So, look, all I can hope for and we'll continue to lobby for is that we will get a significant slice of those new testers and that we would start being in receipt of them during the first phase of the new testers that are being allocated. But unfortunately, it'll not be till next March or April.
Councillor Jerry McMonagle, thank you very much indeed, Mayor there of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. And that's it for the 9 till noon show for this morning. Thank you to you for listening. Thanks to all our contributors. Thank you to Shannon and especially to Caroline, who as always guided me through the process. Greg's back tomorrow. John's up next around the Northwest. For myself, Donald Kavanagh, have a very good day.